message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Matthew chapter 4, I'll be reading today from verse 12 to 25, and we are continuing Knowing Jesus, part 5. How many of us are following Jesus? Let me see your hand. And how many of us are fishing for men? Following Jesus, fishing for men. And we said that in order to follow him properly, you must know him. And today we are going deeper in knowing him, and we're going to know him through his early ministry. Last week we looked at the temptations. Praise the Lord. Today we are looking at his early ministry. Matthew 4 from verse 12. If you are there, say, I am there. I'm going to tell you to underline a few things. If I don't get back to it, ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you at home. And if I can get to it before my time is over, praise the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. He didn't go to the prison to look for John. He was not crying all over the place. And he was not meeting people, bribing to let them release John. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. May we see light today. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same thing John said and entered prison. Same thing. Same thing. Repent. Some of those guys didn't want to hear about repent. But Jesus continued. He couldn't be stopped. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. Underline, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately, underline immediately, left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Underline, mending their nets. So we underline casting a net into the sea, and we're underlining mending their nets. He called them, and immediately, underline immediately again, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. All kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. All kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Healing all kinds. In the next 2-3 weeks, we are going to have another healing service. We need you to start preparing, because he heals all kinds, all kinds, all kinds. All kinds. So begin to get ready. All kinds. All kinds. All kinds. All kinds. Somebody say all kinds. Jesus healed. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. Cause your word to be simple. Grant us understanding and help us to bear fruit in Jesus' name. And so last week we looked at Jesus preparing for his ministry. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. He was tested. And by the mercies of God, through the power of the word, he overcame all the temptations of the devil. And right from there, we entered here. He began his ministry. But something was happening. The great man of God that anointed or that baptized Jesus, because he was offending people, he had told the big man not to marry somebody. So the big man got angry and put him in prison. Somebody say, Wahala. So in this time, Jesus did not allow the trouble on ground to worry him. And he launched out. He launched out. He launched out. So what can we learn from how Jesus behaved, how he conducted his life, and everything he did? We said last week that don't start anything without preparation. Don't. And make sure you are led by the Spirit. Don't wander about. Be led by this. Let's appreciate our media team. Let's appreciate that. Did you see the suffer our sister suffered before she was just led? That is how we suffer if we are not led. Those who are the children of God must be led by the Spirit. Be led. Praise the Lord. And so let's look at Jesus, number one. Jesus was not discouraged at the imprisonment of John the Baptist. He launched out. He did not allow the negativity of the day to stop him. Because in his heart, because his determination is always to please God, Jesus never allowed anything to stop him from pleasing God. And we must be that too. Nobody guarantees us that negative things will not happen. There is no way you can pray on this earth that negative things will not happen and they will not happen. No, they will happen. He said, on this earth, in this life, there will be tribulation. And so the forerunner was in prison, but Jesus said, that cannot stop me. He refused to be discouraged. He launched out. Why? Because launching out is the will of the Father. And once you are determined to do the will of the Father, other things will come to discourage you, but you must say, no. Jesus refused to be discouraged. He moved on. He did not allow his emotions to discourage him. He did not allow his pain to discourage him. You know Jesus. He loved people. So John being in prison will pain him, definitely. It will bother him, definitely. But he did not allow him, allow that circumstance to discourage him. He moved on. As we want to please our Father, as we follow Jesus, and as we want to fish men, you will be discouraged. Satan will throw things around to discourage you. Sometimes it's when you want to go on evangelism that the gas will finish. Or the day you decide to go and visit that person you have been praying for to get born again, you have an accident. The car breaks down. Those are things that surround us. And the enemy throws them out. Pastor told us that there are certain demons. They are Thanksgiving morning demons or Sunday morning demons. They just wait. When a child of God wants to do certain things that will please the Father, they happen. But Jesus taught us here, never, ever allow anything to discourage you from doing the will of the Father. He launched out. Somebody say amen. Amen. What else can we see? Jesus left that place and the Bible says he departed Nazareth and went to Capernaum. And the Bible says he fulfilled prophecy. What prophecy? Isaiah had already prophesied that the people who sit in darkness will see light. And Jesus is the light of the world. And so instead of staying where he was comfortable, where he knew already, he had to go to where he was needed. Did you get that? Jesus went to where the Father wanted him to be. He went to where he was needed. He went to where there was darkness. You can't be light and be sitting in light. If you are a child of light, the next place to go to is where there is darkness. As a child of light, our next destination is a dark place. You can't be a child of light and remain in the place of light. No, you take your light and go to where there is darkness. And that is why we come to church on Sunday, but church is not the real place God wants us to be all the time. We come to church to get refilled. We come to church to get the word. But guess where God wants us? God wants us in politics. God wants us in medicine. God wants us in the law place. God wants us in contracts. God wants us in oil deals. Why? Where there is darkness, that is where God wants his children to take the light to. Jesus taught us. The reason he didn't go back to Nazareth and went to Capernaum, it was because Capernaum was in darkness. And where there is darkness, light is needed. Jesus is light. Light is the only cure for darkness. So he fulfilled purpose. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. So he went to Zebulun And Naphtali, why? To dispel the darkness. Can I tell you the truth? There's an unprecedented dimensions of darkness in our world right now. We cannot carry our light and sit in church. You must take your light out. So when you go to the office on Sunday, don't stick with your seat. Move around. Look for dark places and shine the light. Somebody say amen. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1:9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Are we followers of Jesus? We have light. Where should we go to? Where there's darkness. Somebody say, I'm going. Say, I'm going. Glory to God. So Jesus lighted us up so we can light others. Jesus has given us light so that we can take the light and take it to other places. But the most important places for us to go to is wherever we know there is darkness. But what we notice is that children of God will say, that place, no, politics is a dirty game. No, no, no. So we got it all wrong. Because it is dirty, that is where we are needed. Okay, you are not answering now. Because it is dirty, that is where we are needed. And this year, by the grace of God, we are going to create a ministry for people who want to do politics. Oh, yes. We are creating a ministry for people who want to do politics. We want to empower you with what it will take to survive there by the authority in the name of Jesus. So we go to anywhere. Entertainment. Entertainment. We say it's dirty. It's dark. Wherever there's darkness, that is where children of God are needed. Jesus taught us that. The Bible says from that time he began to preach repentance. He began to preach repentance. Today, Jesus is still preaching repentance, but he wants to preach it through you and I. Jesus is still preaching repentance, but he wants to preach it through you and I. Jesus is calling upon people to repent. In Matthew 9:13, he said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is change of mind, change of direction, change of purpose, and change of lifestyle. Change of heart, change of mind, change of direction, and change of lifestyle. Jesus came to tell them that the way you are thinking, the way you are speaking, and where you are headed to is the wrong place. Turn. The kingdom of God is here. Turn and come into the kingdom. He's saying that today, but he needs us to help him say it. That is why we say we follow him so we can fish for men. Jesus has given you light to shine your light in darkness. But Jesus has also given you the work to do what? To tell people to repent. To repent. And if you are here, you thought you have repented, but you are still doing what you used to do. You are still talking the same way you used to talk. You have not really repented. When there is a repentance, there is a show that something is different. Repentance means you are going like this. You stop. You tell yourself, this place I'm going is not the right place. So you turn and you start going like this. It's repentance. Jesus preached repentance and the kingdom of God. Jesus is still preaching the same thing today, and he is calling us to preach repentance. Anywhere repentance is not preached, that is not the gospel. If repentance is not preached, that is not the gospel. That is motivational speaking. Jesus has not called us to motivational speaking. Jesus has called us to challenge people to change their minds, to change their ways, and to change their behaviors. Somebody say amen. I don't like your quietness this morning. I need you to let me know that you are with me. Jesus is still preaching repentance. Luke 24:46-47. Repentance is to be preached in Jesus' name to all nations. Acts 17:30. God calls men everywhere to repent. Somebody give him praise. So repentance is turning from our old ways, turning from sin, turning from malice, turning from wickedness, and turning to God. Jesus preached it. He's still preaching it. And that is what he has called us to help him preach. Somebody say, I'm a preacher of repentance. Hallelujah. What else can we learn? Jesus called men to follow him. Jesus called men to follow him. Now, this is the Son of God. There's nothing he cannot do. He's fully God. He's fully human. He can do all the work for himself. But Jesus saw that this work of preaching the repentance and the kingdom of God was too important for only him to do it. So he recruited other hands. I'm coming to you where you are seated. Jesus could do this work alone and get results. He was already getting results. But he saw the importance of this work, the greatness of this work, the work of preaching repentance and the kingdom of God. He needed to recruit other people to do it with him. Number one, for succession purposes and for legacy. I want us to know that we must call one another, we must involve one another, and we must recruit men and women to come and join us in following Jesus and in fishing for men. We can't do it alone. If he had not recruited those people, guess what would have happened 2,000 years after? We wouldn't come and know about it. Let me diversify a little or divert a little. You are a kingdom man, a kingdom woman doing business, building foundations, and you are doing it all alone. You must raise disciples. You must have succession plan. You must have plan for legacy. Jesus was doing the work, but this work is too important to allow it die when I leave. He knew he was going to die at 33. He had already told them, I'm going to die very soon. So he needed loyal disciples to pour himself into them so that when he is gone, the work doesn't die. Stop doing business alone. Train people. And among the people you are training, look for the ones who have the passion. Commit the work into their hands. Say, I'll learn from Jesus. Say, I'll learn from Jesus. You are not clapping now. In business school, that is like $100,000 I just gave you for free. You are not happy now. Praise the Lord. Jesus, our ultimate example. What was he trying to tell us? This work of preaching repentance, this work of making disciples is the most honorable work, is the most profitable work, is the work that guarantees eternity. And therefore, I will do whatever I must do to not allow it to die in my hands. So he recruited people and poured himself into them. And because of that, the work continued. I want you to know that if you are a child of God, you have been recruited. If you are born again, you have been recruited. And if you have been recruited, what Jesus expects of us is to carry on the work, even though he is not here. Somebody say, I'll be faithful. Amen. I told you to underline casting of nets and mending of nets. He says he met some who were casting their nets. Those are busy people. Yeah. Busy people. So no matter how busy you are, Jesus showed us the example that you are needed. Amen. Let me talk to busy men and women in church this morning. No matter how busy you are, Jesus needs you. Actually, the busier you are, the better for Christ. Because in your business, it means you are in places where there is darkness most of the time. I can prove it. If you are very busy, it means most of the times you are in places where there is darkness. Board meetings, business meetings, clubs. God needs busy people. He wants you to take the light to those busy places. Casting their nets. The ones who are mending their nets are retired people. People who are not engaged right now. People who are resting. People who are waiting until everything becomes okay before they serve God. They were mending their nets. God needs all of us. God needs all of us. He needs the busy people. He needs the not too busy people. And needs the one who says, I don't have anything doing. If you don't have anything doing, praise the Lord. Kill yourself for Jesus. So he needs all of us. He needs all of us. Somebody say, he needs me. Say, I will not fail him. Yes, you better say it loud, because when we were singing, you know, they fall my hand, you were shouting. Say, I will not fail him. So he called people to follow him. But look at another thing. He called those who were casting net. He called those who were mending net. And the Bible says both group immediately followed. No excuses, no delays. None of them say, wait, when I get to. None of them say, wait, I want to go and bury. No, they followed immediately. We are following Jesus. We are fishing for men. We are not postponing. We are doing it now. We are doing it now. We are not waiting until dollar crashes. It has nothing to do with dollars. In fact, this is the best time to fish for men. They immediately followed and left everything behind. God is looking for people who are willing to leave things behind. Willing to leave father behind. Willing to leave their nets behind. Willing to leave their boats behind and fish for men. Why? Because fishing for men is more important than fishing for fish. You didn't get it. Some of you will get it on your way home. Some of you will get it on your way home. Fishing for men is a better job than fishing for fish. Fish do not have eternal value. Men have eternal value. So fishing for men is far more important, far more valuable than fishing for fish. And it's an immediate need, immediate task, immediate call. Follow me and I will make you. And immediately they follow. Somebody say, I will follow now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the only one that can make you. Hear me and hear me well. Jesus is the only one that can make you. You can't make yourself. Harvard can't make you. Covenant can't make you. Central Bank can't make you. That must be somebody from Central Bank. NNPC can't make you. But Jesus is the only one that can make you. And the qualification for making you is that you follow him. As you follow him, he makes you. He will not just make you a fisher of men. All the other visions and purposes he lays on your heart, he will make you as you follow him. Somebody say, I will follow. I will follow. Say, I will follow. Jesus went about all Galilee and continues to preach the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, joy. Jesus taught, informed, educated. Jesus preached. He stirred their faith. He inspired action. And Jesus healed. Jesus healed to demonstrate the compassion of God. As we go about calling men and fishing for men, we must also release to them the bowels of compassion. The bowels of compassion. Don't go and tell somebody, Jesus loves you alone. If you have value to give to them, give them. If they are sick, pray for them. If they have need for food, give to them. That's what Jesus is teaching us. He preached. He taught. He healed. Jesus took care holistically of the man. He took care of the whole man. And that is what he wants us to do. We preach, we teach, we heal. We preach, we teach, we heal. We preach, we teach, we heal. We teach, we inform, we educate. We preach, we inspire to action. And then we heal, we show compassion. And then they will become kingdom citizens. And then in turn, they will now become disciples. And go forth and do the same thing. Teach, preach, and heal. Teach, preach, and heal. Teach, educate, inform them that they need to change their mind. Preach, inspire them to take action. Heal. Pour compassion. Deal with their physical circumstances. Glory to God. And that is what Jesus has called us to do. And as we do this, as he pleased the Lord, we also will be pleasing the Lord. Remember, all of this is so that we look at Jesus, how he suffered denial, how he allowed himself to be punished, how he endured pain in order to please God. We are also called to do the same thing. We need to look at Jesus, how he put the kingdom of God and the preaching of repentance and the kingdom of God as valuable above other things. And we too need to put it above other things. We look at Jesus, how he felt and knew that only him cannot do this work. I need to do this work with other people. We also must go around, go out two by two, call yourself on Thursday, day, five of you, go out and evangelize. Recruit people. Pour yourself into them and let them continue the work, because we will not be here forever. But this work must continue. We preach. We teach. We heal. We teach. We preach. We heal. Jesus showed us example. But remember, on this journey, certain things will happen to discourage you. Refuse to be discouraged. Remember, you are a carrier of light. Light is not supposed to sit in light. Light goes to where darkness is. Remember, you are not alone, and you can't be alone. Look for others to go with you and go through all Galilee. The Bible says he went all about all Galilee. No discrimination. Go everywhere. Go everywhere and be accessible. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. You know, let's bring some of these things home. There's somebody here. Because of one thing that happened, you lost an uncle. Since that time, you have worn black and sat in the house. You have not gone anywhere. Because you failed one exam, you have not spoken to anybody since. In life, discouragement will come. You jump and pass. You jump and pass. You receive encouragement from the Lord and you move on. There is no guarantee that negative things will not happen. I was here on a Saturday. Pastor Ina was buried on a Saturday. On Sunday, Pastor Sarah preached. That is what John did. His forerunner was captured, put in prison. He went on. I want you to jump over all the mishaps. I want you to jump over all the losses. I want you to put behind the past pain and get up and go. There is a world to take. There are lands to conquer. We must be like our master. You went before, you preached to five people. None of them gave their lives to God. Get up again and go. It's not every time Jesus won all the souls. I hope you know. You didn't know? The rich young ruler. After heavy sermon. In fact, this sermon is not that Jesus went to look for him. He brought himself. But after the sermon, he said, Kai, I'm not ready yet. He left. So why are you discouraged? Because five people didn't get saved. Get up again and go. Recruit more people. Gather more brothers and go. Can I tell you the truth? We are his only hope. The church is the hope of the world, not the United Nations. The church is the hope of the world, not the armed forces. The church is the hope of the world, not politics. Not politics. The church. It is when the church enters politics that politics will help the world. You didn't get it. Why? It's only the church that knows the truth. It's only the church that has real compassion without strings attached. Who is the church? Who is the church? You are the church. Pray for yourself now. Pray for yourself. Jesus showed us the way. Jesus would rather please God than sit down and wallow in pain and throw a pity party. Because I don't have a job, so I can't minister to people now. No. In fact, because you don't have a job now, you should be a full-time evangelist. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Father, help me to use my life for you. To use my life for you. To use my life for you. Help me to bring to myself like-minded people so we can do this work better. One will put 1,000 to fly. Two will put 10,000. Give me people. Give me people. I will not be discouraged in this work. I will not be discouraged in this work. Jesus preached in the synagogue. Jesus had respect for the house of God. I will be in the house of God whenever the doors are open. I will be in the house of God. That is my filling station. That is my filling station. Even when you are tired, drag yourself to the house of God. It's our filling station. It's our filling station. Pray for yourself. I will follow Jesus. I will fish for men. I have what it takes. I am anointed to fish for men. anointed to fish for men. Declare, I carry light. I carry light. No darkness can quench me. And wherever I go, I light up the place. When I meet sinners, I light them up. Declare it over yourself. When I meet sinners, I light up their life because I carry light. I carry light. I'm a carrier of light. I'm a carrier of light. Like Jesus went to Zebulun and Naphtali, I will go to where there is darkness. And when I get there, they will come under the influence of my light. I'm a lighter. I don't know whether that English is correct. I'm a lighter. Alika para kata like pandesh kata. Embrat ke chut katandesh kapa. And I cannot be discouraged. Jesus has committed. When he was going, he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you now. We are now the Jesus on the earth. Begin to declare, I am Jesus on the earth. My eyes are the eyes of Jesus. My hands are the hands of Jesus. My feet are the feet. Some of you are afraid to pray that prayer. That is who you are. That is who you are. Pray it. My eyes are the eyes of Jesus. My hands are the hands of Jesus. My feet are the feet of Jesus. I will go about fishing for men. I will go about fishing for men. I will go about fishing for men. In Jesus' name, you may please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.